The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This episode is brought to you by forhims.com. That's forhims.com. This episode is also presented by PlayStation VR and Borderlands 2 VR.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Oh, sure, I think we could do Beyond.
Beyond?
Beyond and hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Dornbush. I am your host for episode 570 of Beyond Live. We're doing it live. Today I'm joined by Max Scoville.
Aloha.
Aloha. Brian Altano.
Brah!
And Andrew Goldfarb.
I don't have a thing. Hello.
That was it. That was perfect.
You did well, Andrew.
Thank you.
I believe you. Of course. Today, for all of you and this wonderful live show, thank you all so much for attending and being here with us today. We're going to be talking about the Game Awards winners and a lot of the crazy announcements that happened. We're going to be talking about the Kinda Funny Live Showcase and a few of the announcements there. After that, we're going to be joined by a Borderlands 2 VR dev to talk about bringing that game to VR. And then we're going to also jump into the second half of the show and give away some wonderful end-of-year awards that are just here on Beyond.
I used to work with that developer, I should mention.
Yeah, you should probably mention that. Yeah, it's good to know.
Do you want to get the legal stuff out of the way right now?
Yeah, full disclosure.
Yeah, we're going
to
do
work at Gearbox for a long time.
Okay.
Like
not
a
10-minute
Does anyone else have any legal stuff they have to talk about?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good
so we
go.
Can just... Yeah, why don't we just jump right into the fact that the Game Awards happened. PlayStation-wise, winners were pretty good for PlayStation. God of War was obviously crowned Game of the Year. It also won Best Direction and, I believe, Best Action Adventure. There were like three different action, adventure games. Spider-Man, unfortunately, didn't win anything. It got somewhat of a, like, in the beginning of the show, they were like, it was the most tweeted about game of the year, which seemed like an odd award to give at the beginning of
Is
the show.
Is that an award? I don't think it's an award.
I don't know if it was an award or they were
it
just
was,
saying, like,
I mean,
good job.
It was
job.
Nominated for a lot, so
it was,
obviously
yeah.
Voters liked that game, but just not enough to, like, give it the edge, I guess.
Yes, yeah. But obviously God of War... Game of the Year at the end. Last week, Brian and Max, we were talking about what we thought was the best PS4 exclusive of the year, and we were talking a lot between God of War and Spider-Man. Obviously, these awards came down on the side of God of War.
Yep.
But I think both two amazing games. Fortunately, one didn't get many wins.
If I had to give a game award for the best moment of the Game Awards,
yeah.
It was definitely was it Christopher Judge and the Boy up
Sonny
on the stage.
Sonny
yeah. Doing, you know, read it, boy. That was a good moment.
You three were all there at the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. How was it in the show itself?
I will like, say, in the room, people were very excited about Spider-Man. Like,
yeah.
It was possible to give a runner-up based on, like, applause.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a lot of, you know, noticeable energy. People just love clapping when they hear the word Spider-Man.
We'll give you all a chance to clap later as well. Look forward to that tease.
One of my favorite moments of the show was I told everyone on Twitter that Andrew Goldfarb had diarrhea.
How are you feeling, Andrew?
It's not true, but it was just funny to do that.
It was, yeah, it was so funny. Everyone
you enjoyed
loved
it.
It
a lot, right?
I'm feeling great now,
yeah.
Thanks.
Stomach's okay?
Yeah.
He actually got the award for most tweeted about diarrhea.
I would believe that. I feel like there were very few diarrheas
narrow
being
margin,
tweeted
though,
about
yeah.
then. Moving on to the actual announcements at the show, though. One quick one I want to mention. It's not technically PlayStation related, but Andrew, you would not be on the show. It'd be remiss to have you on the show and not mention it. The fact that Joker from Persona 5 is going to be in Smash.
Yeah, which is like weirdly, vaguely PlayStation related
yeah.
because obviously that game's a PS3 and 4 exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that's a PlayStation announcement that they stole a character from a PlayStation franchise
yeah.
and put it on an inferior console.
Well, if they want to make Battle Royale 2, it's fine. Make PlayStation All-Stars 2, Joker can be in that.
I mean, they're making more of a PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale than Sony ever probably will again. Right?
They got HD Cloud out before Sony did. Mm-hmm.
Cloud, Snake. If there was one Sony character you could put in, who would it be?
Kazuma Kiryu.
Okay.
Get him in Smash.
Yeah.
Thank you for the one other Yakuza game. Yeah.
Brian, what about you?
Probably Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
I know he's not actually a Sony character, but we all know he is.
He really is, yeah.
I mean, it's weird, right? Because obviously he has nothing to do with Nintendo, but I would love to see Parappa in there. Like, I would love to see, like a completely stylized Sony character join Nintendo characters.
I feel like also from this modern iteration of everyone, obviously, like, Kratos would be incredible, but, like, Aloy with the bow and everything would be pretty cool. She could summon in a robot dinosaur.
Yeah, like, versus Link, that would be really cool.
That'd be really cool, yeah. But moving on to more PlayStation-centric announcements, Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled was confirmed. I was sent a pair of fuzzy orange dice earlier in the week, which was clearly hinting at that. Orange dice, just like the purple egg for Spyro, are not really like the key image you think of with that game, but obviously that's what they're
using. I love how like the dice, one of them was like, it had just a 6 on it, and the other one like added up to 12, and we were like, clearly, this game is going to be released on June 21st next year. And they were queuing that it was going to be December 6th announcement. So.
Well, no, it actually did add up to June 21st.
I think it was probably for December 6th.
You think it was for, all right.
Given that they announced that on December 6th.
We actually don't know. Those dice could be for God of War, too.
They could be anything, yeah.
Really, there's no way of knowing.
We'll find out.
Yeah, the dice of Vivendi.
What did you all think of the trailer, though, and seeing the jump that it's making from how it
works? Well, I mean, I love that moment of comparing the old visuals to the new visuals. That was like that moment in the room when everyone was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I think that was a really cool comparison.
Yeah, I loved, as a huge Crash fan, obviously, I think it's interesting. We've been having our wonderful producer, Barrett Courtney. He was playing a bit of the old game ahead of time just to like prep with all those rumors and everything. That game doesn't quite hold up in the same way that I think a lot of people would want it to, at least personally for me as a big CTR fan from back in the day. They will need to do a lot to modernize it and make it actually a fun modern kart racer, especially with something like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. It's coming out day and date on Switch 2, which is interesting.
Which is very cool.
Yeah.
The title's also kind of confusing.
What is the title? Like the full legal title?
Nitro Kart?
Crash Team Racing Nitro Refueled.
Nitro
Fueled. I don't think there's a
Zero Dawn.
Yes. I mean, it made more sense to just call it Crash Team Racing Refueled because there is Crash Team Racing Nitro Kart, which came after Crash Team Racing.
And that
I've said the phrase Crash Team Racing
game?
A lot of times right now.
I'm like physically tired from hearing
how many times I've said Crash Team Racing. Well, then we can move on from Crash Team Racing. Also, just it was kind of mentioned, I think, as an aside or as mentioned alongside it, but Jak and Daxter is getting a physical release. The original, they sort of re-released it and vaguely remastered it. It wasn't like a full proper, but it's coming to PS4 in a physical form, and I think they have this like really awesome special edition version you can get of it. Were you guys big Jak and Daxter fans at all? Did you play it much?
I really wasn't at the time. I mean, I've revisited it since, but that totally wasn't my franchise at the time. You're giving me a look. I'm sorry.
Tell us more.
Well, it all began. No, I like Jak and Daxter games. That's
same.
Actually, what is it? Just Daxter, which is the
he got the PSP
the
spin-off.
PSP spinoff.
Yeah,
was that the one that was they released it on Vita and PS4 at the same time, or did I dream that?
The Daxter spinoff?
No, like the collection that this is.
Oh,
that?
Well, they released Jak and Daxter 1 PS4 like remastered by itself.
Okay,
like it was just you could buy it as like a download randomly.
When did they announce this? Was this a Game Awards announcement?
I think it was like announced alongside, so we're just grouping
they
it.
They just
in,
sent out a press release in the middle of like one
yeah,
of the biggest
it was just
things.
Kind of like right there.
Of,
yeah, you might as well get in on the all hype right. of it. Yeah, it makes sense. Moving on to a couple of the other things. Stranger Things 3, the game, was announced. This was like vaguely announced for all platforms. They showed a quick trailer of it. It was sort of like the isometric viewpoint. 16-bit is what we're referring to it as. Sam Claiborne was very upset. He was like, it is more than 16-bit. I will not hear that. But what do you? There was that Stranger Things game that came out as a like mobile game, I think, a little bit back in the day that was like a mini game collection. What are you guys fans of Stranger Things? Do you want to see like a game experience alongside this new season? Like, does that interest you?
I mean, yeah, I think that like the Sam Claiborne's sort of onto something. Like the time period's all weird on this for the game.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a late end high like sort of like high end 16-bit game, but the show takes place like mid 80s ish. So That's like that NES games didn't really look like that, and so
it kind of looks like it could be an arcade game from the time. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like if they had a bunch of like insert coin stuff at the top, it would sell that. But they don't even have like scan lines on it, so I feel like it falls very much in that category of like faux retro, you know. And I kind of wish that they were either doing something that was properly modern or something that felt more authentically old school. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, we've gotten a bunch of games that sort of hit that Stranger Things vibe. Like, we got Oxenfree and Crossing Souls, and I don't know, there's a handful of other games where it's like you're kids running around doing 80s stuff. What are the other ones? There's ones that...
It's a good genre. Yeah.
We get that leaked gameplay of the Telltale ones, so
yep.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, and we'll never see that game, so this feels like the best interpretation of Stranger Things we're probably going to get in the game.
Well, especially if it's taking place concurrently with Season 3. Yeah. Like, I think that's kind of the interesting twist to it, is that it's going to have, like, plot elements from the third season, which I think is a really interesting approach for a game like that.
Well, and we got a teaser for Stranger Things Season 3, like, in the last 24 hours, but... when that trailer came out, that was probably the most we've seen of Stranger Things Season 3, which is a weird way to have that happen.
Do we do a rewind of that? Do we make like Scott Calora pick through and be like, here's all the cues we got about Stranger Things 3 from
this. Oh, they'll punch enemies until they disappear in the third season.
It's all going to end at the Game Awards, which is weird because that's set 30 years in the future.
Goldfarb, a couple years ago, we saw Netflix try their hand at a bunch of video games based on their shows, and they did them like in browser-based games, right?
Yeah, they have like a really long... like, and it's funny because... they clearly are interested in dipping their toes into interactive stuff. They right now, Minecraft Story Mode is just on Netflix, playable.
Yeah, you can play a Telltale game on Netflix.
And I think that they've clearly wanted to do something like that for a while.
Well, and the Duffer Brothers, they've talked, I think, even
hard
IGN.
Pause, staring longly into each other. Yeah, great, thank you.
Yes, you can just do that for the rest of the show, it's fine. The Duffer Brothers have talked about the fact that they wanted to dip into games. Like, that seems to be as of a big an interest to them as continuing the show itself. Mm. So I'm curious to see how much this will expand what we'll know about Season 3, if it will just purely follow those episodes, or if it'll actually be something really big and interesting to look into. Beyond that, we also saw Far Cry New Dawn was officially revealed after the box art and name leaked earlier in the day. And then they also had put out a teaser right before it. So this is basically like... essentially, it seems like a sort of sequel to Far Cry 5, but it is not Far Cry 6.
And I love how that game is like hasn't even been out like a whole year yet, and the guy came out and was like, so anyway, as we all know, Far Cry 5 ended with, and you're like, oh, all right.
Yeah, that was a way to spoil that game.
Hope you weren't planning on getting it for Christmas.
Well, here's we didn't get ending. Any Game Awards nominations, so screw it. Here's the ending and the next one. Go nuts.
For anyone who was going to give it like Game of the Year consideration, then they put out a Game of the Year version. It's like, well, who cares at this point? But so New Dawn essentially takes place, I believe, 17 years after Far Cry 5. It looks kind of like Rage 2, what Rage 2 wants to be, in that it's like this post-apocalyptic sort of take on Far Cry, where also we got the Rage 2 release date at the Game Awards, which was a little bit of a weird like duo. But what did you guys both think of Far Cry 5 earlier this year, and are you excited for New Dawn?
I really enjoyed Far Cry 5, and I was a little apprehensive about this DLC until I started seeing like insane animals running around everywhere, and I was like, okay, I'll beat the hell out of those things.
Doesn't it also end on a shot, or at least partially in the trailer, with like a dog kind of like going like crazy in the
sidecar? Yeah, like
side
in the
car.
Window of the car, yeah. That was the best shot in the trailer. Yeah.
I mean, my problem is they have that, what's it, the bad guy from Joseph Seed or whatever, for the villain from... Far Cry 5 shows up again. And I was like, I thought that, like, I really love Far Cry when it's just having fun and being kind of insane. And it seems like this is definitely going in that direction more than the sort of more serious notes of 5. I saw Drew Holmes, who was a writer on Saints Row the Third and Bioshock Infinite and Far Cry 5. We're seeing a pattern here. I think he has a more direct role in developing this. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see how much kind of like Saints Row and Bioshock Infinite there is in this. Because it's got a little more liberty to kind of go nuts and have, you know, saw blade guns and stuff like that.
Being the, like, mid-year release, obviously, like, Far Cry Primal was a huge departure, and with New Dawn, they can probably take some more liberties than they could otherwise. But it's interesting to see. Also, I saw him tweet, he was like, the next chapter is revealed, and so I wonder if they want to really keep this version of Far Cry going beyond Far Cry.
That's what was interesting to see them tease the villain returning, because this does seem like... more so than Primal or even like a Blood Dragon or something that's kind of standalone. Like, this does seem to be tying in directly to the events of Far Cry 5. Mm-hmm. It was also, I was saying this to Zach Ryan, who we work with, who said it looked like Annihilation, which is also my first thought, and seeing like all the colorful like flowers, and like it's very vibrant in a way that Rage kind of seems to be, but not quite. And I think beating it by 3 months will be really interesting.
It looks like it's having a lot of fun, which I think like is the cool thing about them getting their you know, sort of more proposed serious story out of the way earlier in the year, and then now being like, well, we built this playground, like, let's just go insane with it.
Yeah, let's,
I mean,
go crazy.
The tone of the trailer seems to be like, hey, like, everyone's sort of being like, oh, are we all about survival? And it's like, no, we're kind of just, like, living, you know?
Yeah.
Like, once you're sort of past that point, it's like, go nuts, have fun, drive monster
Yeah,
trucks.
I like that it's not the first year after the apocalypse and see what happens, because we've seen that scenario enough. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to see what happens there. A few other announcements just to go quickly through. There was a really cool Psychonauts 2 trailer. We finally saw like what that game's actually going to be about, which is really exciting. There was a tease for the next Dragon Age. We don't really know what it will be.
Who in the audience knew what that meant? Did that make any sense
Dread
to people?
Dreadwolf Rises, did people know?
Any clues? Any hints? No? It reminded me a lot of the Skyrim teaser that we got back at the Game Awards in like 2010, I guess, mm-hmm. where they were like, it was just dramatic music and like a slow pan over a like a mural. And you're like, oh, if you're into this, you get it. And if you're not, then you're like, what are people shouting about?
You'll find out in two years.
It kind of reminded me of the Sekiro teaser last year. In that, like, it didn't end with Dragon Age 4, even though it was very obviously a Dragon Age thing. I thought it was interesting that they left that open.
Yeah, and then, of course, we also got the huge Mortal Kombat 11 reveal, which was they kind of teased us and were saying they were going to the best sports award, and then it actually became
was,
Mortal Kombat
that
11.
I really liked that
bait and switch, by the way, because that was like if John Madden came out and was like, here's the best Mortal Kombat character.
It was just a new Madden. We'll see. I think what's crazy about that game is that it's going to be day and date with PS4, Xbox One, and Switch.
Yep.
I think that's huge. We'll see how that game performs. Obviously, Mortal Kombat is always big on IGN. I'm curious, before we move on, what were you all three most excited about?
I was excited about talking about Mortal Kombat 11, but you just steamrolled past that.
Go ahead. That's why I'm giving time.
I really liked that they had, you know, Scorpion came out, and he did his usual Scorpion shit, and then, you know, they had, like, movie version of Scorpion came out, and I was like, you know, like, I love that terrible film. I watch it more often than I should.
I believe it.
Regularly. I think you've been over at my house when I've been watching it.
Of course.
And just drinking and shouting at the wall. It's
your
great.
TV's actually stuck to only play that movie.
Yeah. But it's a Mortal Kombat Edition TV. It's great. But no, like that. They brought Scorpion out in that outfit. And I was like, they've been doing a lot of stuff with kind of different outfits. They've been really good about throwing in like a bunch of random movie characters. And I kind of love that this has become sort of almost like the M-rated Smash Brothers, you know, in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm super down to see what they're doing. Especially after all the stuff that like they built up with the last Injustice 2 and Mortal Kombat 10. So.
Absolutely. And Brian, what about you?
I agree with everything Max just said.
Thanks, Brian.
It's cool. It's cool to see parts of a man's spine I didn't know could explode.
Probably going to see a lot more of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of just like really deep zooms into like the guy's brain and it just explodes, or like a guy's hand and it explodes. It's really cool to see different parts of the human body just explode.
Explode. Yeah. Andrew, what did you enjoy seeing explode?
All those body parts, it was a little weird in
your
the
diarrhea.
Room because, like, everybody was just...
during the diarrhea.
Thanks, Jonathan.
I'm sorry.
It was weird because, like, everyone in the room was, like, cheering every time, like, a bone broke or, like, blood splattered. And it, like, felt a little, like, kind of, like...
I don't know what to do in those situations, because what are you supposed to do? Just get up and throw up? Like, what are your options? You either yell or you go, oh, it's disgusting, and you walk out, or you just throw up all over the theater.
I don't know.
Jeff Keighley hates when that happens.
Totally appeals to me on, like, that inner fifth grader level.
Throwing up in front of a whole theater?
Hell yeah. Reminds me of my recital. It's great.
What did you say?
Your wedding recital? That was 2 months ago.
It's a wedding recital. I don't know. Like, Mortal Kombat is so... Like, we were walking out of there, and you were like, yeah, it was kind of weird, but then you were like... It's weird how it's the most ultra-violent but still sort of family-friendly gets a pass kind of thing. And, like, it's got a legacy M rating. Mm-hmm. Like, Mortal Kombat has had moms pissed off and has been M rated since before M ratings were a thing, back when it was, like, MA-17. Like, it was in Time magazine for being too violent, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, Doom turns 25 today. Hi, Jared. You want to cheer for Doom? There we go.
Thank you,
Jared. I feel like Doom and Mortal Kombat are very much in that same boat where it's just, like... What happened? Like, video games sort of had their first, like, you know, like, pubescent growth spurt there, being like, oh, God, this is so violent. What's wrong with you? Why are you yelling at your stepfather like that? And that's Mortal Kombat. And have Ed Boon come out, and he's now this sort of, like, lovely, like, avuncular character who's like, hey, everybody, I'm here to the sports and racing. And then, you know, like, a screaming yellow skeleton shows up to kill a man several different times. It's great. It's juvenile.
He is like a very calm man for the amount of shit that goes on in his game.
Right?
Yeah.
You know?
He voices Scorpion, too.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, in the movie, he voices Scorpion. He is the original voice of, get over here! And you're like, that voice comes out of that man?
Wow.
Yeah.
He's very calm.
He looks like Eugene Levy on Quaaludes.
Yeah.
We interrupt this program to bring you a brief message from Hims, a new wellness brand for men. Here's a not-so-fun fact. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, and by the time you start to notice hair loss, it's usually too late. It's generally easier to keep the hair that you have than to replace the hair that you've lost, so why not do something about it? 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and other stuff like that that might be embarrassing to deal with in person. Luckily, with Hims, there's no waiting rooms, no awkward in-person doctor's visits, and you can save plenty of time by just going to a website. Hims connects you with real doctors and gives you medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss and other possibly embarrassing problems. And this isn't snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements either. These are well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. If this sounds like it would help you out, order now. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details, but this would cost hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or to a pharmacy. So just go to 4hims.com/beyond. That's forhims.com/beyond. Once again, that's 4hims.com/beyond. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
All right.
I don't know where to go from Eugene Levy. For me, it was probably, other than Crash Team Racing, definitely the Joker reveal. Who I imagine wasn't as excited about the Joker reveal, though, was Greg Miller, because he has never completed Persona 5. What he has completed, though, is the first Kind of Funny showcase. That was quite the walk, I know.
That's right.
I appreciate that.
First like that.
Before we moved on from all the big crazy news of this week, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Kind of Funny showcase announcements. The first that I want to go to, Max, Project Judge now has a name.
Yes.
Judgment.
Yeah.
Quite the departure.
So this is the Yakuza team's next IP. Yeah. They kind of closed the story with the Yakuza 6, the Song of Life. It's a new thing, and you can jump in there, and it looks like sort of like a 3D HD kind of Phoenix Wright scenario, except you could beat the crap out of people. it's a beat 'em up where you're like a cool lawyer, I think. They put out two trailers a while ago, and one of them was like a bunch of people in like law offices yelling at each other, and then the other one had a guy doing like a kickflip off a skateboard to punch a guy out of a car. So I'm like, what is this game about? I don't care. I'm in. I'm done. Yeah. It's going to be great.
It's actually how they resolve most crimes in Japan.
They don't have crimes in Japan.
That's true. Yeah. Trick question.
It's a science fiction game.
You're paying attention.
That's coming out summer 2019. Max, I assume you're pretty excited to see a bit more of this. We did get a new trailer, but this seems pretty much right up your alley.
Yeah.
I think one of the probably the biggest surprise of the showcase, though, was that we have a release date for the third episode of The Walking Dead's final season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with Telltale Games shuttering, the continuation of that final season was up in the air. Skybound Games then announced that they were looking to continue it, and they've announced that the third episode will be coming out in January. How do you all feel about this continuing? Because they initially it said they were trying to look for some members of the original team to be on board, but...
Well, and that was the cool thing in that moment, was that they're working out of the same office space with, I think they said, 40 of the original developers. Like, I'm happy that they were able to get that much of the team back together, at least.
Yeah.
I was also kind of curious to see what it would look like, but it totally just looks like Telltale.
It looks like, what
it doesn't
expect.
Look dramatically different or anything.
Yeah.
What if they just went with a totally different art style from the last season? It's all clip art. They're like, it's done, so now you know what happens.
It's a moving like comic book, basically.
Yeah, I think it's like it's been just long enough that had they announced this like the day after, people would have been really pissed, and justifiably, because there was a lot of very like sort of serious situations going on there where people were worried about healthcare and, you know, benefits and, you know, just trying to like not get pulled away from the work that they were working on, because that all happened so quickly. So I think that like they're reaching a good resolution for everybody. And shout out to Greg Miller and Kind of Funny for getting that story out there. And in general, also, like, quick shout out to those guys. Many of us here, we're huge fans and huge supporters and proponents of indie games. And I think it's really cool that they built a platform that allowed a bunch of people to take smaller, you know, more personal passion projects and put them into something that was shaped like an E3 or, you know, PlayStation, Nintendo, Xbox press conference. So that's really
tiny.
Cool.
Tiny. Yeah. There are games made by one person that
were
on there.
I think Adam's Ascending or something something like that, where it was just one person, he did like a live action trailer for his game.
It was cool though.
Yeah, the fact that like that was in there and they were able to show off 69 games in total.
Nice. But like that game was there juxtaposed with Anthem. You know, like, and like Mike Gamble came on and talked about Anthem. Like, it did. Like, you're totally right. Like, it felt like a like an event, you know, and I think that was a really cool way for those developers to get exposure right next to, you know, like Telltale and Funcom and other bigger developers.
I think it's like what we always say about like the PlayStation Store and the Xbox Marketplace and you know, the eShop, is it does this really good thing that a lot of retail stores can't really do, but it'll take an indie game and make a rectangle out of it and put it right next to God of War or Horizon. And to a consumer, they walk in and they're just like, oh, this is, you know, Inside, or this is Guacamelee 2, and they're just as big in front of me as some AAA game that had 150 people working on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's awesome.
Mike Biffle released his new game right after announcing it during the showcase, and it was very funny because he tweeted out the eShop, and he was like, we are now the number one most recent game on the Nintendo Switch. Take that, Super Smash Brothers. Yeah. But it's great to see so many games be able to show up in that conference, and then everything from, like, I think one that was a big favorite around the office for a lot of people, The Messenger, is getting new free DLC, which we saw, which is rad. I love that game so much.
Is it called, like, Picnic Day or something?
I think it's, like, Picnic Party or something like that.
That seems like an odd departure from, like, fighting ravens and stuff or whatever you fought in that.
There's a lot of ravens at picnics. They love all that picnic food.
If you leave that food out by itself.
Sounds like a picnic gone horribly awry. One game that caught my eye was Moving, which is just a game about moving.
Right. Yeah,
which seems like kind of in the same vein as Overcooked, and it's like, I don't know how many times you've moved, but that seems both like a great game idea and also like that game sucks. Like.
Yeah, it's from the same team that worked on, what is it, Death Squared?
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, which is like, you know, just a really awesome sort of puzzle platforming game.
I love that idea.
Yeah, there were a lot of really cool ones. Jenny LeClue was on there, which I think looks really fun.
Yeah.
Like back to back like that, it is crazy to just take a moment and be like, oh, like you can make a game about literally anything now, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're one person working out of a garage or a team of 50 people. Like, I think it's really cool seeing that kind of diversity and that passion that, like, it is still possible to just kind of make it.
I feel like you could do that at the beginning of video games, and you could do that now, and then there was, like, 30 years in the middle where you couldn't do that. Yeah. Like, at the beginning, you could be like, it's a pizza, but he's yellow, and he eats ghosts. And they're like, all right, that's great.
That works.
And there's 30 years where you couldn't do that. And now they're like, he's a pizza, and he's yellow, and he eats ghosts. And they're like, that's indie game of the year.
I mean, the fact that, like, tools and everything are so democratized now that anyone can get a free development kit or something, or even buy, like, a $100 kit, and anyone can just make their
games. We talk a lot about people, you know, one person who's made a game, but how long before we play a game that was made by nobody at all?
Probably pretty soon, I would imagine.
Like, just completely AI
design one, yeah.
I mean, like, Ubisoft's doing crazy stuff where, like, computers can completely face map what a character is going to look and talk like during any scene, so they could probably make a game in, like, a year just from AI.
Yeah, let's be like, Alexa, make a video game, and it's just done.
Yeah. She can do everything else, so I believe in her. Other than that, just going on to, for me, and I would be remiss if I didn't shout it out for Tom Marks, Celeste is getting a physical release, and Celeste, I think one of our favorite games on IGN of the year, obviously Tom gave it a 10, that will be in physical form, too, and that is just such an awesome, loving game, and Matt Makes Games, Matt Thorson, who also did Towerfall and everything. It's great to see. I think Towerfall was one of my favorite games when it came out, and to see this game now also receive so much acclaim is awesome, and I'm really glad it's getting this, like, new life again in physical form. But anything else from you guys that stuck out from the showcase?
What is it? Minico's Night Market, I think it's called, where everybody turns into a cat, and it's very cute, and that game looks amazing.
That doesn't sound cute at all. That sounds terrifying.
Sorry.
Very cute. Fix it.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, there was obviously so many other games shown at the Counterplay Showcase. Those are just a few of the things that piqued our interest the most. Again, huge congrats to those guys for putting on one heck of an awesome show. And can't wait to see what the Showcase 2 looks like next year. We are going to take a quick break. Andrew, you will be departing and leaving us. You'll still be alive, but you'll be off the show. In a second, we'll be right back. There. Yeah, you'll still
be alive. We're having Andrew put to sleep. I'm sorry.
This is
to
a rough way to break it to everyone. And we'll be
you
right
want it
back.
To be a cat.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Borderlands 2 VR is just about to be a very real, actual thing thanks to PlayStation VR. What a world! What a virtual reality world! Finally, the iconic shooter looter is getting in your face, on your face. Come December, you can virtually step into the boots of a treasure-seeking vault hunter armed with 12 bazillion guns on a quest to stuff your pockets with even more guns. Blast bandits with real-world aiming, punch psychos in the literal virtual face, and race around in stolen vehicles and free Pandora from Handsome Jack's virtual reality clutches.
which are now even more handsome and even more clutchy thanks to PlayStation VR. In case you live on a distant fictional planet under a piece of scrap metal, PlayStation VR brings gaming to virtual reality. It makes your heart race, your pupils dilate, and your instincts take over as you discover new worlds. With PlayStation VR, you can fully immerse yourself in more than 250 incredible games and counting. Keep an eye out for Borderlands 2 VR on PlayStation VR. Greatness awaits.
You want to rustle papers for a little bit?
Yeah. I think we should do. Can I do one? Do you need an extra paper?
I was going to set this up. Like, so, you know, Jeff Keighley comes out, and he's got a lot of cool announcements, and, you know, Greg Miller comes out and has a lot of cool announcements. Do we have any cool announcements?
Oh, we might have a cool announcement coming up, I think, on the show. Yeah, I think...
God of War 2?
Yeah, we're finally announcing
We've got the reveal trailer for God of War kart racing. The cart is made of wood. It is very slow.
Cart of War?
The boy has to pull it.
I would play that.
Yeah?
That'd
be
pretty fun.
I think it'd be horribly depressing. Let's get Corey on the phone, though. I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
He'll accept our pitches.
We do.
Yeah, so we're going to bring onto the show Lucy O'Brien, who you may know.
Hi, everyone.
Hey,
hi, Lucy.
I live in America now.
You do. Welcome to America.
Thank you.
You picked a great time to come here.
You are now the executive features editor at IGN.
I am. I know. I'm just getting so much fatter. Just... The food here is incredible.
Did you say fatter?
I'm getting so much fatter.
Oh, I thought you said feta, like the cheese.
Thought,
I'm like, we have a lot of that here.
You guys were all nodding, like, yeah,
like, yeah,
feta,
we got great
definitely.
Cheese in America.
That makes a lot of sense.
they give you, like, the complimentary feta when you land in America to move here for the first time.
I do have, like, a bag of, like, four Mexican, like,
what? Do you want to finish this sentence?
Cheeses that isn't currently in my fridge, and
what?
I just, like...
Did you just, like, panic and not know what to buy at the store, and you were just
panicked.
I'll just get the cheese pillow. This is good.
This giant cheese pillow.
You bought the Mexican cheese pillow when you got here?
Yeah, and I've been eating, like a sort of feral animal just, just out of the fridge. I think I put on, like, several pounds. It's great.
Uh-huh.
I can hear
our national anthem playing through your refrigerator.
And it's all thanks to that American treat, the Mexican four-blend cheese pillow. Everyone's favorite.
Well, Lucy, you've done such a tremendous job on the show in the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We would really like you to become the fourth official member of Beyond. Would you like to be an
official
member of Beyond?
I would love to be the fourth official member of Beyond.
Thank you so much. Beyond. Lucy is now officially part of the show. When I heard you were coming to the office, the first thing I thought was congratulations, and the second was I want you to be on Beyond all the time. So
yeah, you actually messaged me, like,
very quickly. Yeah,
it was the announcement sort of happened, and then you were like, hey.
By the way, yeah. Well, I checked with Andrew. I'm like, Andrew, is this bad of me to do too quickly? He's like, probably, but still do it. So yeah, I'm very happy that you're. Very happy you're joining us.
Well, I am the older, more gay Alana, so.
And that's what we put on the call sheet. Yeah, that's what we were looking for in the audition, so thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And we thought there was no better way to welcome you to the show than to have a very serious discussion and do, as Max coined the term, Beyond's Best of the Rest Game Awards 2018. First annual Beyondies, whatever.
Are we doing some awards?
Yeah, we're
the first
do some
annual
awards.
Beyonces. That's what we're calling them until they sue us, and we have to stop calling them.
They're going to sue us like tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to happen real
quick.
We're going to court like tomorrow. This is going to be bad.
So we thought, obviously, the Game Awards just came out there, gave out their awards.
What? Yeah, that's your paper. You get that for joining the show.
Keep that forever.
You can keep it.
You get that in the cheese, so this is a good year for you.
I'm doing great.
Everything's turning up.
You can put the cheese in the paper and make a really crappy quesadilla.
Yep.
Use a hotel iron to do it. It's great. Yeah. The office paper and four cheese Mexican blend. Anyway, carry on.
So we're giving out awards. Obviously, IGN will be giving out its end-of-year awards that you can look forward to later this year, which Lucy has been playing a huge part in.
Are real awards.
The real
people
awards.
People worked really hard on, and just to let everyone know, that's not what we're going to do right
now.
No,
these we have not worked hard on at all.
This is going to be dumb.
This is going to be good. We're also going to, as I mentioned before, you're going to have a chance to clap. We're going to have this partially decided by audience vote to see who wins each of these awards. Let's just go to the first one right away. Best Leak.
Ooh, the best leak.
The
now,
best
this has
leak
been a,
of 2018.
This is a tough category because there were a lot of leaks, so we had to just narrow it down to a few.
To six.
Yeah, to six of the leaks from 2018.
Now, this is not necessarily the biggest leak.
No.
Is it the most exciting, like the ones, or just like the best overall?
I think the best form of leak.
The most absurd form of leak.
Okay, that's a good one. Because like every year, there's like one game that gets leaked by somebody who's like reading about it on an iPad Pro on a plane. He's like, I hope no one finds out about this. Like cis kids are like, hey, they're making a new thing.
Someone on the subway was like, Shadow of the Tomb Raider is coming out next year, and it just happened. Anyway, the nominees for this award are Assassin's Creed Odyssey revealed accidentally by a keychain.
It's always the tiniest secrets, right?
Do we have
a picture of the keychain?
Devil May Cry 5 revealed accidentally by a trademark. Pretty soon.
No, that happens all the time.
That's okay. That's different than a keychain.
Yeah.
The keychain is just so fundamentally stupid.
It is. It's real bad. The next two revealed accidentally by our good friends Walmart Canada, Rage 2 and Just Cause 4 were both revealed on that giant leak of games.
Yeah, biggest snitches in the industry, Walmart Canada.
Honestly, that's my go-to spot for exclusive game reveals. I go there all
Walmart
the time.
Canada. Don't, if you ever have a secret, do not tell them. They will tell everybody.
They're doing the second annual Walmart Canada showcase earlier this year. Harry Potter, as Max put it, revealed by just some dude on Reddit. There was just a guy who leaked all that info in that video. It was like Vapeman69 was like, hey, by the way, like, that was legitimately
second biggest snitch in the industry, Vapeman69.
They accidentally revealed like a minute of an alleged Harry Potter RPG.
I don't think it was an accident.
Probably not.
If you see Vapeman69 walking into a Walmart Canada to buy a keychain,
something big
four games are getting leaked.
And then Spyro Reignited Trilogy was revealed shortly before it came out as an announcement from Amazon Mexico. What do you think is the most interesting of these leaks?
The keychain.
The keychain. The keychain
for sure.
Is so dumb.
No, the Harry Potter.
No, I mean, the keychain is like hundreds of people work on these games globally.
Okay, right.
And they're like, it's all a secret. One guy is like, oh, I dropped my keys. I'm like, oh, no.
Right, but this is like, the Assassin's Creed franchise has a wonderful and like storied legacy of leaks from all sorts of weird promotional accoutrements.
Which is weird because it's about hiding.
Yeah. But there's a lot of collectibles in those games, so when they, you know, they reveal the secrets via the collectibles, I think it's a good fit.
I think we have to ask the room.
Yeah, I think we'll ask the room. So let's go. Obviously, I think the big two contenders are AC and Harry Potter, so can I hear a round of applause for if Assassin's Creed Odyssey is the most interesting leak of 2018? Cheers from Jared.
It's a keychain.
And then please applaud if you think Vapeman69's revealed Harry Potter.
Oh, that's a tough one to not applaud. Okay, yeah, that's... I think they're applauding his name.
They're just applauding his name.
Yeah.
I'm going to say AC Odyssey won that one. Congrats.
Okay. No, no, no.
Vapeman won, undoubtedly.
Right. So as far as leaks go, I just want to point out AC Odyssey.
Yes.
You've played it, yeah?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, because it came out.
There are no keychains I've collected.
What is that Harry Potter game?
Oh, I have no idea.
We have no idea what that game is. Vapeman 69 is playing at his house right now.
Well, it's better than him doing the other things in his name.
Yes.
I'll let you do the math.
We'll say it's a tie with Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Harry Potter, then congratulations to you both. Moving on, biggest mouthful of 2018.
Vapeman 69.
Max, since you put these names down, I'm going to let you read them.
Oh, crap.
You get the honor of reading these.
These are all real games.
These are all real game titles that are
available on PlayStation platforms. Number one, Under Night In Birth EXE colon late, and then in brackets, so latest.
What? Wait, what?
Read it.
I don't understand
it's
it.
It's like
that's
street,
the first.
But like
that was again. That was the first entry. That was the first title.
Under Night In Birth EXE exclamation. Is that late? It's just
latest.
Oh, but why do they put that? I know. I get the word.
You'll
but
have
why
to
they
play
put
to
the
find
end
out.
Of it?
All right.
It's more memorable than latest.
Number two. Atelier Lighty in Suelela, The Alchemists and the Mysterious Paintings. That's a real game that came out.
Did you say that right? Here's the thing. If we have to debate that, it's not a good name.
E7 Lacrimosa eight. Of Dana. Is it East?
East 8.
8.
Come on, Max. Get it right.
This is hard titles or Max doesn't know Roman numerals.
You want to play like a weird Rock Band Blitz, just put this on a teleprompter and make me read it fast. That'll be. And then there's The Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 2, isekai that has two colons in it.
My favorite.
That's like a human centipede movie. That's not.
This one is my favorite because Kai just seems to be sort of forgotten. Like at the end, it's like, Kai.
Mm-hmm. Kai.
That's like a Japanese thing that I should know, and I forget what it means. It means like Earth or something.
Cobra Kai.
I don't know.
You know what else has two colons in it? Vape Man 69.
And then finally, Steins Gate, which I still want to give a shout out for having a semicolon in the middle of it, which is the opposite of two colons. It's half of one. Regular colon, linear bounded phenogram.
Phenogram.
Is that a medical procedure?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's got to be so Atelier, Lydian, Swell, The Alchemist, and The Mysterious Paintings. That's so much. It's
is
so
it,
much
is there
title.
A runner up that we feel on the panel before I throw it to the crowd?
Oh. Do you have to read all? You have to read. All
I'm
this
not
again.
Gonna. I'm just gonna.
This is gonna be the weirdest thing anyone has ever clapped for.
Yeah. I think it's a tie between The Legend of Heroes and Under In Birth Night X later.
I think that we're a bunch of us are debating how to say latest is definitely that puts it in.
That's
the top.
A high.
No, it's yeah. Latest.
So let's go between Under Night In Birth. EXE late.
Just say one or four, whatever.
And clap for that one if you think that was.
Clap if you think that.
And that. Otherwise, please clap for. Max, you want to read number two?
No, I don't want to. It's hard.
Atelier Lydie and Swelly, The Alchemists and the Mysterious Paintings. Please
it's
clap.
Not Swelly.
I think it's funnier if I say Swelly.
What is it, Sewell?
I think it's French.
It's Sewell. Sewell.
Oh, you read the title then before they clap.
I would say it's Atelier Lydie and Sewell, The Alchemist and the Mysterious Paintings.
Oh, wow. You went right back to English at the end
there. I gave up. It was too hard.
Too late as the biggest mouthful of
is that what's winning?
I think that's, yeah, that got a lot of
I
applause.
Guess you could say it was the greatest title of this.
We should send them a trophy that just has like just a plaque that just keeps going on the bottom. it's very funny that like two of the best-selling games on PlayStation this year were Spider-Man and God of War. Like incredibly simple. There's no debates on how to say those things. Although we don't know what it's like when there's more than one Spider-Man. Is it Spider-Man or Man?
Spider's Man.
Perfect.
Number three award, most pissed off fan base. Max.
Oh boy.
Oh boy, this was a doozy.
Yeah. Why'd you do this?
Max did it.
Max.
You all had access to the doc, man. You could have changed this. Anyway, all right, so the nominees for the most pissed off fan base of franchises in 2018 are Fallout.
Okay.
Diablo. Yeah. Battlefield. And Metal Gear.
All of these fan bases have a real right to be pissed off.
Yes, they do.
All of them have very good reasons. Yeah,
I think this should be the most.
Who has the best reason to be as angry as they are? Because obviously we want to reward the ones who are the angriest.
So that should be the most justifiably,
so they're not mad at us.
The most justifiably pissed off fan base.
Most justifiably?
I would say possibly Fallout.
You know what's weird is that this list
Thanks
is split.
Thanks for copy editing that on the road. That was great. I'm glad we didn't announce the name of the award.
That's fine.
This list is kind of split between people who got a brand new game and didn't like it and people who did not get a new game at all. Like, we got a new Metal Gear, sort of, and we got a new Diablo if you have a phone. Which apparently many people did, but only used to get really angry on. Justifiably.
I honestly believe that most people have forgotten that Metal Gear Survive came out this year.
Everyone's
moved on.
You just gave away our game of the year at IGN. It's not true.
I think probably Fallout seems to be the clear winner for us. Is there a runner-up?
I think
that one just kept getting, like it kept going further sort of off the rails where they're like, hey, man, I just found out this canvas bag I paid $200 for is nylon.
The extra wrinkle to that was
they
were
like sorry, we meant to make the bag out of suck it, losers.
And then they called up customer service, and they're like, hey, can you get me a better bag? And they're like, yeah, sure, but we have to dox you to do it.
Yeah.
That just kept getting worse. And then you play the game, and like your leg is stuck in the wall the whole time.
Yeah.
I gotta say Fallout.
Your clothes would just disappear in-game, but not in a sexy way like in Mass Effect or something. Yep. You'd just be like, why am I like a naked Wendigo suddenly?
You're just in this erotic T-pose forever.
Yeah.
Is that erotic to you?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like Fallout's the clear winner for us for most justifiably pissed off fan base. How do you all feel?
Yeah.
Do you agree? going to give that award. Seems like a clear runaway.
I think with like Metal Gear, it was more of a, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know what we expected, but like that was like we tried to stay at a party where all the like really cool people very clearly left hours ago. They're like, oh, there's some Hawaiian punch and rum in the fridge. We're like, oh, I guess we'll drink it.
Make something out of that. Moving on next.
And give it a 7, I guess.
To most disappointing delay, Far Cry 5. Far Cry 5 was delayed? I don't even remember. What? That feels like a year ago.
You can't just write anything on here.
I wrote all sorts of stuff on here.
Right, when did Far Cry 5 get
I don't remember. That was supposed to come out last fall, I think. Didn't it get delayed?
I don't think so.
All right, well, then take that off the list.
All right, I'm just going straight to
you. You got access to the Google Doc? You got a pen?
It's too late.
All right, well, it's then printed. Far Cry 5 has been stricken from the record.
Also, The Crew 2, was that delayed?
Hell yeah, that was delayed.
Okay. So The Crew 2.
That was delayed.
Is that for the nominee? Spyro Reignited Trilogy, that was delayed from September into November. Battlefield 5, its Battle Royale mode specifically, too, has been delayed until the spring. Like, it isn't coming out day and date with when the game came out earlier this year. Days Gone, obviously, was pushed into now April of 2019. And then Anthem, I think we expected it originally.
So that one, they pulled like a little aha, where they were like, it's going to be 2018 maybe, and then they did some earning calls. We're like, we wouldn't call it a delay, maybe, I don't know, and it's going to be out later, and good night. It was just like, all right, whatever.
Earning calls sound really fun, actually.
Yeah?
They're talking like that.
They're fun?
Yeah, that sounds fun to me. I have a weird sense of fun.
Coming in 2019, I love those bottomless fiscal year call. 2019.
What do you all think is the most disappointing delay, or what was?
Well, the correct answer, because I love you, is Spyro.
Aw, thank you.
Because you were probably angry.
Don't ask us. There's a whole room full of people.
How do you feel about? I'm gonna go for the ones we actually are sure were delayed. Spyro, was that the modicum of applause?
It's sort of weird because it came out now, and you probably
and
you
it's
can play
yeah
it.
You have it, so you're like feeling better. Days Gone, being delayed. And Anthem's sort of.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like people clapping for disappointment.
Disappointment, yeah.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, giving this award is actually going to be delayed until Q2 2019. So we're going to come back to it and see how everything's doing then.
We're sending out some bad trophies next year.
We meant to make them out of canvas, but apparently nylon is only available. So
it's too expensive, really.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's a lot of money. Moving on, most best facial hair. I almost said most facial hair. Kratos.
Yes.
Arthur Morgan.
Yes.
Rico Rodriguez. And it's Joseph right. Seed. What?
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 Who
is that?
From Modern Family? Oh, Manny Rodriguez. Yeah, so those. He is not one of the nominees. How do you all feel about the facial hair?
Kratos.
Are you kidding me?
I think for me, Arthur Morgan, I mean, I just let my Arthur Morgan just become a filthy hobo. Mm-hmm. Like, every single time I looked at him when he was playing poker, it was like that scene behind the dumpster in Mulholland Drive with the, like, you know, like the scary, terrifying homeless. That was my Arthur Morgan. And I really liked that the game allowed me to make him filthy.
You had to work on that, though. Kratos was born with that. Like, Kratos was born as a baby with a giant, giant ZZ Top beard, looking like a homeless man who's just owning it.
I hear that he has, just a profound butt chin under there. In his later years, he just got, like a real squeaker down
it's
there.
It's true. He could be hiding a huge butt chin.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
I think it was Arthur Morgan, hands down, because you can make... That is a role-playing game about facial hair. What kind of a facial hair does this man have, do you think? Like, what character are you playing as?
I kind of want to text Corey from God of War and be like, is your dude hiding a big butt chin?
Yeah.
Text him right now. It's fine. We'll find
that out.
Yeah, what's under there?
Let's vote then to the audience. Kratos. If you think Kratos had the best facial hair, give us a good clap. And if you think it was Arthur Morgan, please clap.
Yes!
Wow. Jared. Yeah. There's the winner.
I think Arthur Morgan won Best Facial Hair of 2018. Congratulations,
Arthur. He has like a baby butt chin, too.
Probably, yeah.
It's a good beard. I'll give him that.
I threw this last one in just because Andrew made such a big stink about the pizza in Spider-Man. Best in-game pizza, Pizza Titan Ultra or Spider-Man? Pizza Titan Ultra is where you're like a giant robot delivery man delivering pizzas. So it's pretty like anime-ish. Like,
were those the only games with pizza?
There was probably other, but I put this...
But
on
wait,
the list earlier
isn't
today.
One game just entirely themed around pizza?
Around pizza. So do you feel like it has an unfair advantage?
I feel like it should probably win. I mean, if that's its whole bit.
We did a whole thing on Up at Noon about the pizza in Spider-Man, because I'm weird. And you don't really see a lot of it. There's like in the DLC, there's a shot where he's eating a slice on a roof, which looks awesome. Mm-hmm. Also, you see it in a garbage can, and there's a bunch of pizza places around town. I'm giving it to Spider-Man because Spider-Man takes place in New York, and New York has the best pizza.
I like that.
That's a good answer, yeah.
Well, then let's leave it up to a vote. If you think Pizza Titan Ultra had the best in-game pizza of 2018, please clap. Sorry, Lucy. And if you think
it's
Spider-Man
the underdog.
Had the best in-game pizza, please clap. Think the award goes to Spider-Man. Congratulations, Spider-Man.
I like people clapping for pizza rather than clapping for disappointment.
That is definitely better. Thank you all so much for joining us for the Beyond's Best of the Rest Beyonce's Game Awards 2018.
The first annual.
First annual.
Last annual.
Last annual. We'll find out. We'll make up new awards next year.
Yeah.
Moving on before the show ends, I thought we would do another rendition of Trophy Test. We did Trophy Test, for those who may not know, on the Thanksgiving episode of Beyond this year. Essentially, I come up with a bunch of fake trophies and quiz whoever else is on the show about which trophy is real and which trophy is fake. They do not know these trophies going in whatsoever. I have chosen for this round, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I think 8 Kingdom Hearts trophies.
Wait.
Can't you just like kick my ass or something?
All Kingdom Hearts games or just the
No, these are all Kingdom
two that
Hearts
I played.
Games. No, okay. No, sorry. One from each of the games that I chose from.
Right. Okay.
So
these are real trophies from real Kingdom Hearts games that we really didn't play.
Yes.
Got it.
So you'll have to tell me which you think is the real trophy. I want you to tell me which you think is the real trophy.
I think we should do that, and then we'll also tell you how you unlock it.
I'll take that, too, for extra credit. Each of these will be worth 1 point. Extra credit is 0.5. From Kingdom Hearts 1, first trophy of the two, One-Winged Angel defeats Sephiroth in the Platinum Match at Olympus Coliseum. Trophy option number 2, Against All Strife. Defeat Cloud in the Platinum Match at Olympus Coliseum.
Okay, so you're telling us how to get the trophy, so there goes my pitch.
Yeah, oh well, for that one, sorry.
Okay,
what that's do you think right. is the real trophy of those two?
One.
You think one?
I think one.
I think two.
You think two?
Can you repeat two again, and I can pretend like it'll teach me anything?
Against All Strife, defeat Cloud in the Platinum Match at Olympus Coliseum.
That sounds dumb enough to be real. I'll go with two.
No, I'm changing my answer.
What?
So, I'm changing it. Yeah, I don't want to be
actually,
wrong.
I want to change my answer, too. I want to do one.
This is not helping
trade?
Me.
Yeah.
So you two are saying two is the real one. You're saying one. The real answer is one. One
yes.
Winged Angel. You shouldn't have
I
done that last
answer.
Trade.
I changed my answer.
I was thinking about
it.
You join me. I don't know what I'm talking
peer
about.
I was thinking of something that made sense. I was like, yes, Cloud Strife. That makes. And then I was like, wait, no, this is Kingdom Hearts. This won't make sense at all. These are the people who made, like, Dream Drop Distance, and they have, like,
you know what this is
fourth
like?
Dream Drop decimal points in their titles.
You know what this is like? This is exactly like when Sora and Donald Duck reach the top of Olympus Mountain and
kiss.
I have no
and
idea.
Kiss. Yeah, that's how.
Fight Shrek or whatever they do up
there. Moving on to Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories. Trophy number one. Again, tell me which is the real of these trophies. Queen of Hearts. Collect all Alice in Wonderland cards.
That sounds real.
That sounds real, and I'm pretty
they
sure that
sound
is real.
Real. That's the idea. That's
expert deck builder. Edit a card deck 500 times.
No,
which of those is the real one?
You know what? You're that sounds that? Like something that Kingdom Hearts fans would really love to do.
To edit 500 times?
Yeah, because they're really into just obscene tedium. So that might, no offense, I don't play those games. You can make fun of all my favorite games. I won't make a big deal about it. I want to say it's two.
Two is the real one. You're saying one. What do you say, Max?
I'm going to say two as well.
The correct answer is two. Expert deck builder. Edit a card deck 500 times.
Excellent.
Sorry, Lucy.
I'm doing so badly.
This is just like when Goofy and Winnie the Pooh rode the Pegasus to hell.
It's called Hades.
To fight Xena, warrior princess.
Speaking
one of my favorite moments from Kingdom Hearts 2. 3, drop distance 4.5 XD.
We're getting to that one.
Night of a Thousand Days. Game of the Year edition.
Kingdom Hearts Recoded. Which of these is the real trophy?
Is that a real game?
Recoded.
Wait,
yes.
Recoded. What platform was that on? Like
that
PSP?
Was so originally it was a mobile game called
mobile
Coded,
game.
And then it was recoded on the DS.
And it had trophy facts. Support on the PlayStation.
When it was re-released
thank
as
you
part
for
of Kingdom Hearts 1.5 plus 2.5.
Okay.
40% debugged, complete up to and including Olympus Coliseum. 35.8% debugged, complete up to and including Olympus Coliseum.
Oh, that's such
which
a trick.
Which of those is the real one?
Because I know that sounds like a title, because it's a percentage that no one would use realistically in real life ever.
which is the perfect thing for Kingdom Hearts. So I think you're tricking us. So I'm going to go with one.
Do all of these games just take place at the Olympus Coliseum?
Don't ask him that. We will be here until
tomorrow. Because they go on the computer, apparently, and debug things.
Yeah, Recoded is where they go into Jiminy Cricket's journal to debug it.
What?
Like into a computer version.
Wait, really?
Computerized version of Jiminy Cricket's journal.
Are you kidding me?
Why does Jiminy Cricket have an iPhone?
It's a written journal that they digitize and it's been infected.
He has an infected journal?
Yeah.
Jiminy Cricket has an infected journal.
Yeah.
And people cry when they put out the new trailers for these games?
People, me. Yeah.
How did his journal get infected?
Look, this is one of the least loved ones.
Get comfortable, everybody. Wait, what? Does Pinocchio know?
Probably.
Why didn't he stop it?
Did they ask Pinocchio if he knew and he lies and his nose gets bigger?
Was he in that whale? And that's why he could
Pinocchio fan service.
Monstro is in Kingdom Hearts 1.
Monstro
the whale. Yeah, is a world.
Sure, great.
He swallows the gummy ship as you're flying through space.
The what?
The gummy ship.
Is this how I die?
Probably. Anyway,
I just go insane until my head explodes.
40% or 35.8% debug.
40%.
You're saying that's the real
yes.
one? Lucy, what do you say?
I'm going to say the stupid one.
Okay. the 0.8 one?
Yeah.
Okay. And Max?
I'm with Lucy on this.
40% debugged is the correct real one.
Yes, I knew it.
Sorry, Max.
I knew it. You guys have a limit of
we
how much
it.
Nonsense you can
there,
inherit.
There really?
And it's it stops right
the
there.
The limit is 358 over 2, which we'll get to in a bit.
He has an infected journal?
What's in there?
Viruses. They're like weird
Jiminy
black
Cricket,
boxes
like looking
with
at porn
lines?
On his notebook. Like, did he download LimeWire or something?
That's why Tumblr stopped letting, yeah.
Moving on to Kingdom Hearts 2. Puppy Protector. Collect all 101 Dalmatian entries in Jiminy's journal.
You got this. Come on. Really?
And Minigame Maniac. Collect all minigame entries in Jiminy's journal. This is from Kingdom Hearts 2.
Is it spelled like Minnie, like Mickey's wife or whatever?
Sadly, no. But
okay,
that's
I remember, because I played 1 and 2 way back when.
Uh-huh.
And I remember collecting those puppies.
Okay.
So
this
I'm
is
gonna
for
go
Kingdom
with,
Hearts 2.
I'm gonna go with 1.
Okay.
Where were you at in your life, like on a personal level?
I was a really sad student.
I'm going to go with 1.
1?
Yeah.
That was a real mean trick of me. That's from Kingdom Hearts 1. That is not from Kingdom Hearts 2.
Oh, what?
That is the fake one. So none
what?
Of us get that one. Yeah.
We're going to get it wrong anyway. You don't need to be like tricksy about it.
I know, but I just wanted
There's
to.
There's enough nonsense in these games without you lying about them.
I'm going to give you all 0.5 because that was mean to me. Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep we're moving on to. Which trophy is real? A Friend in Need? Clear the Mysterious Tower episode of Ventus's story?
Was that all one?
That was all one.
A Friend in Need, Clear the Mysterious Tower.
That's the description. A Friend in Need is the name of the trophy.
Ventus's story?
Clear the Mysterious Tower in episode of Ventus's story.
Is that Stormy Daniels' lawyer?
Or number 2, You've Got a Friend in Me, activate 3 Link summons in 1 battle.
Win sums?
Link summons.
Link summons.
Link summons.
Stop. It's not making it easier to hear it a bunch of times.
This is fun for me.
Is that how Jiminy Cricket got those viruses? He clicked on a link summons?
All the link summons, yeah.
Add me on link sum.
Which of those do you think is the real one?
This is incredibly difficult.
I'm going to say 2.
2?
I'm going to go with 2 as well.
Part of me wants to guess 1. Part of me wants to guess 2. Part of me wants to just run out the door and never come back.
So that's neither for you?
2.
2? I was number 1.
Damn it!
Sorry.
How did you come up with number 2? You're a weird genius.
You made that up?
A lot of, yeah.
Link sum?
Link summons. I mean, they like link summons are a thing. Anyway. Kingdom Hearts 358 over 2 days. This is also a
that's
good
the that's the title.
That's the title. Kingdom Hearts 358 over 2 days.
Like so, like a weekend or
58 yeah. over 2. What?
358 over days. 2 days.
So was that like released on the Nokia 3 or
it was on the
first edition of the PSP? It was on the DS.
You have
okay.
That I don't want to look at the answers, but
The first one is Where the Heart Lies, which is to view chapters 75 through 109.
View them?
Yeah. This is you watch this game in the collection. They don't make you play it.
What?
Yeah, they just put the cutscenes on there. You don't watch like a Let's Play, but you watch like the major.
Do you unlock
beats.
Them from the start?
No, you have to watch through them chronologically, I think.
What?
Or. So Where the Heart Lies, view chapters 75 through 109.
I need to lay down. Like this is
isn't that Michelle Pfeiffer movie where she's like a ghost in the bathtub or whatever?
The Ghost Whisperer?
What, or, that? What Lies Beneath?
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah,
of.
That's right. Or A Heart's
Sorry,
Calling.
I don't know, the last one was a bunch of Randy Newman songs.
A
what? I know what these
a Heart's
are.
Calling.
Wait, that whole thing was the first one?
Yes. Where the Heart Lies or A Heart's Calling. Where the Heart Lies is view chapter 75 through 109. Or A Heart's Calling is view days 320 through 358.
Ooh, I hate this.
What? This was hard to do because there are like four trophies in this.
Oh, that's why this was
movie.
Hard to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I came out with like 30 of these.
Like, I'm going to say two, but I'm angry about it. Like, yeah. I'm angry that's about fair. This question.
Yeah, this feels like being in high school again.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do it blindly. Just eeny, meeny, one.
One?
One.
Two and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, two.
Two? Mm-hmm. One is the correct
Damn
answer.
Damn it.
Where the, yes! where the heart lies.
I knew it. Next. I don't remember what either of the guesses were.
We have two left, so I'm going to try to end this misery as quickly as possible.
Okay.
I'll give you both 0.5 for that.
Why don't you give us 2.8 each?
Perfect. Yeah. we're getting to 0.2 in a minute. Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, these two trophies. Droplet Magnet, which is rack up 300 or more drop points in one turn, or stop till you drop. Do not collect a single drop point in one turn.
What's a drop point? Will it help?
That's the Wesley Snipes movie where he's a skydiver.
That's true. That's a great film.
You are actually kind of like Sora and Riku. You kind of like skydive and you're like...
So it is like Drop Zone.
Yes. Which of those is the real one?
Can you say them again?
Droplet Magnet, rack up 300 or more drop points in one turn, or stop till you drop. Do not collect a single drop point in one turn.
I want to say two.
I'm trying to like also try to figure out like your brain and see which one you're like weird enough to create in your own warped mind.
I appreciate that.
There is no limit.
Yeah, there really isn't.
I'm going to go with one.
Okay.
I have a good track record of going with Lucy so far, so I'm going to go with two.
The correct answer is one, Droplet Magnet. Congratulations, Lucy.
What did I guess?
You finally got a point.
Why did I turn at the last second?
The final question from Kingdom Hearts 0.2, A Fragmentary Passage.
That's not, no. Come on. That's you can't do
is, that. Is
that
the,
that's the name of the game.
Why would they do that?
But is that you being tricky?
I also just got a notification from Kingdom Hearts Unchained Cross, the mobile game. On
the what?
Watch.
On your phone?
Don't worry about it. 0.2, A Fragmentary Passage. Which of these trophies is real? A Helping Hand, summon Mickey to assist in the final battle, okay. Or Fashionista, equip an item in all wardrobe slots.
I'm going to go with neither, because that game does not exist.
It's part of the 2.8 collection.
What?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're making things even harder for us.
He's terrifying, because he'll just go, he'll completely make up stuff and trick us.
There's enough doubt in my mind right now for you to go, that's not a real game.
It's not real.
Okay, so I feel like it'd be incredibly lazy of Mickey to not show up until the last second of his game,
mm-hmm.
right? Isn't he just always there?
He's there occasionally, yeah.
That, really?
Yeah.
Mickey's not really putting in the work like that?
I mean, in Kingdom Hearts 1, he doesn't really... the whole thing is, like, you don't really see Mickey the whole time because he's King Mickey. He's kind of, like, off.
You actually don't have to answer any more of this.
I will. I'll be happy to.
I think it's two.
You think it's two
the
is the real one?
Slots.
Two?
Okay. What was that again? Dress to impress.
Fashionista. Okay. Equip an item in all wardrobe slots. Or number one, which was a helping hand, summon Mickey to assist in the final battle.
I'm going to go with one because someone in the audience said one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with one. And if it's cheating, I don't care anymore.
No, I don't care.
The correct answer is two.
Damn it! What's wrong with you? Really?
You people led me astray.
I guess you could say I'm something of a Kingdom Hearts expert.
Who was that? I can't see you, but yeah, you're high.
I can't see the lights.
I'm voting for biggest disappointed fan. It's for me, for you. That was very hard to deal with.
Third place is Lucy with 2.8 points.
Listen, I'm proud of that.
2.8 points?
I just assigned the 0.8 randomly. It felt proper.
That's the title of a Kingdom Hearts game.
Brian, you got 3 points.
I beat you? And you played these games? That's amazing.
And Max, you won with 4.5 points.
Wow, I guess you could say
out of
I just.
Eight. Congratulations, Max.
I think I just beat my first Kingdom Hearts game.
Congratulations, yeah. Only 12 more to go.
No, one of them you can watch, apparently.
At least two.
It's
of
a book
them,
that we'll... shows itself to you.
Do you know what this is like? This is like when Pluto and Dumbo.
Shut up. We'll discuss that episode on the next
okay,
episode
great.
Of Beyond. Thank you all so much for joining us for this live episode of Beyond. This has been an absolute blast to do for all of you. Before we leave, very quickly, Lucy, where can people find you online when you're not on Beyond?
You can follow me on Twitter at LuceO'Brien. I'm also on Instagram documenting my weird American adventures. So please join me.
Please post that cheese bag.
I'm going to post that cheese bag.
Brian, where can people find you?
You can find me on Reddit/KingdomHearts, where I'll be breaking down some of the hottest news, leaks, really, fan theories. I have tons of them.
That's not even how Reddit URLs work.
Head on over. Yes, right there. So thanks.
Perfect. And Max, what about you?
Just Max Scoville. Or you can follow my dog. He's All Peppers with two W's. All Peppers on Instagram. Check him out. He's
Peppers
a dog.
Peppers is great. Should have had him here for the live show. And I am at JM Dormish on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow us there. And, of course, every episode of Beyond is live Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific at beyond.ign.com. Thank you all so much for joining us for this absolute blast of an episode. And, as always, Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond. Beyond.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.